Good morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church on this subtropical Sunday. We're so glad that you're here. For those watching at home, we're glad that you're here too and wondering how things are at the church. Right now, we have very light rain, a little bit of breeze, and we'll all be home before the storm hits. So we're so grateful that you're here. I wanted to take a moment to invite you to join me in welcoming our incredible guest organist, Tom Neenan. John West is on vacation. He called in from Bangkok yesterday to make sure that we're all okay, and we were glad to tell him that we are. So is Reverend Kathy. We are glad that you are with us. We are glad that you are here with us to pray, to worship, and to enjoy each other's company. This is your place. Welcome home.
Good morning to all of those joining in virtually, young people. Hi, Annalie, joining from home. And to all of those young at heart here, my name is April Olt, coordinator of Children's Ministries, and it was a blessing yesterday for us to be along with Harmony Toluca Lake Campus over there with our Vacation Bible School, and we had so much fun. And the first question that we asked everyone, and you can think about this at home, and those of you here can think about it too, is, you know, who's ever been to camp? Raise your hand if you've ever been to camp. So you may not be able to see, a lot of people have their hands raised here. Yes, and we had one of our young people, and we can all imagine who that was, that shared they had been glamping, not necessarily camping. I won't name names. I used to run a camp every summer, and camp and Vacation Bible School has always been close to my heart, and our theme this year is Compassion Camp. We love this curriculum so much. It's going to be the curriculum that we use through the fall. And we talked about how, you know, what are those things that we need at camp and what are those things that we need to survive? So we were talking about we need shelter. And especially thinking about that right now as Pastor Bridie brought it up this morning. We need water. We're getting plenty of that. We need air. We need food. And we need community. And we had such a wonderful time creating that community yesterday. And one of the songs that you will definitely get to hear this fall as well, is, as we had so much fun dancing to it yesterday, was called Welcome Home. And again, that talks to exactly how Pastor Bridie opened us this morning, that this is our shelter. This is where we get our water, our food from God, the air that we breathe in our community. And all God's children said, amen. One final word, all of our LAUSD young folks have just finished their first week of school. And as you can see here, we have backpacks and school supplies that have been donated. And I know for a fact, as having a young one that just started this week, they don't need all of their school supplies mostly until after Labor Day. So please continue to bring in those backpacks and school supplies, and we'll continue to accept them. At this moment, those of you who are joining virtually, please go ahead, pass the peace. And those of you who are here, stand up and greet one another and pass the peace as you're comfortable.
Peace be with you. And let's give some love to our incredible team in the balcony who's helping make sure that every person who is worshiping from home online can join us. Let us gather together in these moments in a time of prayer. Giver of life and all that is holy, we come to you as simple people in the winds of life's storms. Every day we face challenges we feel underprepared for. We confess that without your guidance, we are lost. God, be with us in all our moments. Grant us your grace and give us the strength and courage to lean into that grace so that we might be co-creators in the world that is becoming. God, this morning we are mindful of the weather. And we pray that you will shelter and protect all those in the path of Hurricane Hillary. We pray for all those who have been impacted thus far, our siblings to the south in Mexico. And we remember especially in our own community, the many thousands of people, the tens of thousands of people who live in Los Angeles unhoused, who do not have adequate shelter, and who will face this storm without a home of their own. We especially pray for those in low-lying areas and riverbeds. God, protect and provide and work through the agencies of our county and city to provide emergency support. Creator, we confess that there is a brokenness in our society when so many people are left vulnerable to a natural event. We know we have not taken the steps necessary as a community to ensure that all people are sheltered in a dignified way that honors them as children of God. Forgive the greed of our culture. Forgive us our blindness to the suffering of others. Forgive us when we fail to act. We confess to you, we just sometimes do not know what to do. But we know that your Holy Spirit is powerful and can move through us and guide us and lead us into new ways of being. Move us forward to seek remedies, inspire and embolden our political leaders to do big things and make real change. Help us to let go of things that make us comfortable but might stop others from having what they need. We lift up to you all those in our community who are sick and who are struggling and who need your presence. We lift up our siblings in Maui and throughout Hawaii who are facing massive trauma. May aid be swiftly coming. We offer thanks and joy for all that you provide, and it is so much. We are so grateful in all the ways that you move in our lives. We have much to pray for, much to be thankful for, many ways we need you in our lives, and you are there. And so now, God, we just take a moment for silent prayer to lift up the prayers that are on our hearts and minds. Gracious God, from you all things come, all things return. We are blessed by your presence and eternally grateful for the way that you provide in our lives. We are especially grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived amongst us and loved us so deeply that he was willing to sacrifice his life so that we might live. And we offer you the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, all you brave souls. You made it. Somebody said they had to use pontoons today. I think, Charlie, did you say that? Canoe down? Great to see all your faces. Happy you're here. Obviously, all the people that are watching online, we got a lot of texts saying people are staying home today, so understandable. But we are here. We are doing blessing bags later on. I'll talk about that in a second, but before I skip over it, let's do the check-in. There we go. I love to forget this. Go ahead and get your phone out. You can scan that real quick. Drop your name in there. And if you have any prayer requests, please share those with us. We get those every week, and we pray over them. And like I said, today we are doing blessing bags in the Back to the Future gym. If you do not know about our gym, it is where they filmed 1 and 2, Enchantment of the Sea. It's kind of set up for it right now, too. So it's kind of cool. We're going to build some blessing bags for people in need. And we'll also have some delicious Dan Cox treats he has baked for us today. So don't miss out on those, and especially since there's less of us. That means more cookies for all of us. All right. Going to miss out if you're at home. Couple things to keep in mind. Next Saturday, the United Women in Faith group are hosting a Habitat for Humanity house build. I think there's one or two spots left, so if you want to sign up for that, they've paid the fee. There's a fee you normally pay when you volunteer, so that's all covered, and you can go. I believe the house is in Altadena, but they'll give you all those details if you're interested in signing up. That's happening next Saturday. And then, of course, April just talked about the backpacks, but one of my favorite times of year. We collect them. We're collecting them all month until homecoming, which is September 17th. And I just want to say, even if you, some people have only ever watched online, you can always ship them here. I will get them. I will put them out here for you. It's very easy to do, so just either bring them with you or feel free to Amazon them over. We have a couple people doing that. Food on foot. This is happening after church, September 10th. Another great volunteer opportunity. And you can sign up. Oh, we have the QR code here. Lots of QR codes. We have the QR code where you can sign up for that. That is happening right after church on the 10th of September. And then, like I said, I talked a little bit about homecoming, but that is our next big fall kickoff event. That starts, it's literally a month from now. So that is our time that we celebrate this congregation. It will be our 114th year, and we'd love to have everyone back in from vacation, school, and all that good stuff. So come and be a part of that. We're going to have lunch in the gym and then a nice big ministry fair where you can see all the ways you can be involved here with your church family. After church, feel free to stop by the welcome table today. Everything is in the gym, obviously, because it's raining. So all the coffee treats, and I'll be there with all this information. So if you want to ask any questions, let me know. And I'll provide the answers, hopefully. All right. I think that's it. Whew, a lot of things to talk about. All that we do here, the blessing bag builds, the volunteer opportunities for our community, that's all provided by you through your gifts, your prayers, your service, and your presence. So as the ushers come forward and we put up the QR code for online giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you so much for being here today.
A reading from 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends. Again, welcome. My name is Pastor Bridie. I serve as associate pastor here at Hollywood United Methodist Church, and I'm so glad to see you here with us this morning. Welcome back to church as we continue our summer sermon series, Crossflicks, which examines faith and film. And this summer, we've had the chance to hear from a variety of voices exploring key and critical elements in film around all kinds of issues that impact us in our daily lives. Community, family, illness, loss, aging, awakening, even what to do if your family of seashells who wear shoes disappears, a whole strategy to recover them. We've covered all those issues this summer. And it hasn't been lost on me that this year our CrossFlix selection includes a number of films that address more complex and difficult experiences in life. Some of the films have felt dark. I know you know this. And today's film is no exception. But this kind of makes sense to me, because we turn to film and other forms of art to help us interpret the world we are living in and our lives. And we have collectively been through a very difficult few years. The COVID-19 pandemic has had profound impacts on our community in all ways, including artistic expression and creation. And we're still working our way through it. And it's powerful to be immersed in the creative output of those who have also experienced this season of uncertainty, loss, and frankly, a cultural evolution over the last few years. Ecclesiastes tells us that for everything there is a season. This is our season of emergence and recovery. Next year, we will see another crop of films born from this time, in this moment. Next season is the Barbie season. But right now, we are in the season of the whale. Our interpretation and experience will continue to evolve and change, and that is good. But we should not be afraid to also discuss the things in our lives which are not so easy, are joyful. In today's film, The Whale by Darren Aronofsky, we are immersed in the world of Charlie, an isolated man living with a loss, mortal illness, and crippling mental health issues. Because the director focuses a lot on Charlie's weight and his binge eating disorder, it can be difficult for a casual viewer to really see the depth and complexity of the story that lies underneath. If you have not seen this film, you should. It's on Netflix. There's so much here, so many sermons that could be preached. Today you only get one. Unless we have extra time, then I can pull out the other one in my pocket, but we'll start with number one. But it's worth a view. But prepare yourself, because it's not popcorn fare. It's a complex movie that really makes us think. Charlie is a man in pain. Daily, difficult, debilitating physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, who has a powerful ability to see the beauty and possibility in others. His heart, weak with congestive heart failure, is still a well of great compassion and empathy. It guides his approach to his students, his thoughts about his family and the world and others. But Charlie is not able to turn that same well of compassion towards himself. Let's watch the trailer.
I know these rules can feel constraining, but remember, the point of this course is to learn how to write clearly and persuasively. Think about that. Think about the truth of your argument. You're an amazing person, Ellie. I couldn't ask for a more incredible daughter.
Are you actually trying to parent me right now?
Who would want me to be a part of their life?
You don't stay in touch with Mom?
She really only tells me things about you.
Why?
Because that's all I want to know about.
Why'd you gain all that weight?
Someone close to me passed away, and it had an effect on me.
You haven't seen her since she was 8 years old, and you're gonna reconnect with her?
Sorry.
I don't like this. This isn't a good idea.
I'm sorry.
You say you're sorry one more time, I will shove a knife right into you. I swear to God.
Go ahead. What's it gonna do? My internal organs are 2 feet in at least.
Why do you suddenly need to see her so bad? Why now?
Liz. I'm worried that she's forgotten what an amazing person she is.
I need to know that she's gonna have a decent life, where she cares about people, and that she's gonna be okay.
A college professor, Charlie encourages his students to embrace the process of revision, to open themselves to the possibility that change can bring real improvement, telling them that the more you change, chances are the more that you will express your thoughts clearly and persuasively. It's a succinct and powerful message. It's an invitation to his students to free themselves of their own restrictions and understanding of self, and to embrace possibility for change that will come over time, to reveal new and powerful ways of being. But Charlie is unwilling to extend the same offer of grace to himself. Charlie instructs his students in an online writing course. We all remember this. Remember when we thought Zoom was like the most amazing thing that could possibly be created? Like, this is the answer to our prayers, and now none of us want to be on camera. Charlie is the same. As he instructs his students in his online course, he asks them to be open, to be revelatory, to share personal things. Yet he refuses to go on camera. He's gripped by a deep shame about how his life has evolved. A casual viewer of the film may assume that this is only about weight and his appearance. But the truth is, Charlie is deeply ashamed of who he is as a person, of his disorders, of his mental health, of his past failures as a father. He's also deeply in grief over the death of his partner, Alan, a grief he has never recovered from. Alan, a victim of religious church trauma, took his own life several years earlier, and Charlie still struggles. He feels like he has nothing to offer. The film is set in the last week of Charlie's life. He has a frightening death scare at the beginning of the film that brings the realization that he doesn't have much time left. So I'm going to tell you now, there may be some spoilers in the sermon. If you look at any reviews online, you're going to get them too. It's not about what happens at the end, it's about the journey. He has a painful experience that lets him know that there's not much time left. And so he goes about trying to repair what he can on the outside of his life, but all the while refusing to care for his own life, or himself, or to work on his underlying problems. Charlie is not beyond saving, which he is reminded over and over again by the people who know him and love him. But he does not believe he should be saved. Now, I wonder if there are those amongst us who can relate to that feeling, who have acknowledged that they're not alone, that there are people who care for them, but maybe you felt unworthy of that love. Or maybe you felt like you were beyond a place of redemption in your life. Charlie struggles with these feelings. He's been estranged from his daughter Ellie since the breakup of his marriage. And one of the powerful elements of this film is that it refuses to sanctify Charlie as the main character. He is our hero, but like all of us, he is complicated and he has made mistakes. He left his wife and family to enter a relationship with a new partner. He was being true to his heart, which is what we would choose for all, but damage was left behind. Charlie was interested in his daughter's life, but never enough to push to be a part of it, something that his daughter is keenly aware of. They have not seen each other in 9 years, and now a troubled teenager, he is eager to know her. And so he offers to pay her to spend time with him to the tune of $120,000. Now in the film, this is a shocking sum, because over and over again, Charlie has refused to seek medical treatment for his disorders and his congestive heart failure, claiming he does not have health insurance as an adjunct online faculty person. Instead, he has relied on his friend Liz, who is a nurse, played by one of my favorite actresses, Hong Chau. You should look up her film, she's great. He has not revealed to her the truth that he actually could have access to medical care, and instead has allowed her to suffer and live with the pain and fear of watching one dear to her slowly die in front of her. This is a double trauma for Liz. She is the sister of Alan, Charlie's partner, and a survivor of church trauma herself. So like I said, there's a lot of sermons in this film, and it's worth your time. There's a lot to unpack here. But for me today, at the heart of it, we're going to talk about grace. Charlie longs to be forgiven. He longs to be understood. But he will not extend that forgiveness to himself, nor will he take the time to explore himself to understand himself. He sees the deep beauty and undiscovered possibility in others, declaring, "People are amazing." But he does not believe it's true about himself. We see a man who longs for others to know and experience life, but fails to see the pain that he is causing those who love him and those who long for him to choose life over morbidity. Grace is a powerful force in our lives. It is extended to us freely, without price. Christ's death was for all so that we may live, and yet we are partners in this grace. We are partners with God in discovering the power of grace in our own lives. God is pouring over us each and every day, but have we opened ourselves to the gift? Do we know how to make use of it in our lives? Do we acknowledge when we don't know how to make use of it? Do we let it shape and change us? I think it would be untrue to say that we are always prepared to serve in that role of co-creating the new future in the beloved community that Christ has invited us to. We're not always ready for that role, but that is the power of grace and God's love. We only need to open the door to allow those forces to move in our lives in order to become ready. Paul and the early Christians knew about suffering and struggle. They were going through the day-to-day work of building relationships and establishing the first Christian communities. The people of the way were blazing a trail in the footsteps of Jesus, and it was not without struggle. Their difficulties were beyond relationships. Paul was imprisoned for his leadership in the movement. Early Christians faced rejections from their families, lived with the daily weights of challenging cultural expectations, and faced persecution and death. Somehow, they managed to exist in the in-between of regular day-to-day life with its joys and its struggles in a time of deep uncertainty. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul's word acknowledged that life, even life bathed in the light of faith and service to Christ, has struggle. There are some who interpret the scripture to mean that our struggles make us stronger. And sometimes this is true, right? Sometimes we learn from the experiences we've been in. Many times it is not true. Suffering does not always make us stronger. What I do not believe, and what I have heard preached in other places, is that God gives us struggle to teach or to mold us. But I reject that, and I invite you to do the same, because our God is a loving and redeeming God, and our God does not teach through pain. Am I right? There is nothing redemptive about suffering. But God gives us strength and encourages us and joins us in those moments of suffering so that we might emerge on the other side. All of us know pain, all of us experience loss, all of us know profound failure from time to time. The earthly life we have is finite, and mortality comes with its own costs. But God is letting us know through grace that each day we have the power and possibility of renewal. It is always extended to us, but sometimes we have to choose it in order for its power to work in our lives. In those moments when we are lonely or unsure, and new opportunities for connections present themselves, do we choose them? When faced with our greatest unhealthy temptations, do we choose temptation or the less exciting path? Paul's message is clear. Do not be fooled by the things we see that might tell us we are not of value or that somehow we are less. Instead, lean into faith, lean into the unseen, lean into the truth of God's love. We are valued, we are loved, and those unseen and intangible truths are what is real and what is eternal. Sometimes we just can't find our way to the wise choice though, right? Like for 3 months I've been like, it's time to go back to the gym. And then like a month ago I was like, I see my two bicycles, I'm gonna pump that tire up. But every day it's been a little hot, our traffic's been high, we have a tropical storm. I'm gonna get to it eventually, right? I know that I will have joy in my life if I get myself back on a bike. I'll have exercise again, it'll bring mental health to me. But over and over and over again, I choose that extra period of time in the morning to hit the croissant and coffee at the Paris Baguette. This is not sinful, this is not an immoral choice, but it's probably not the best choice for me, right? Over and over and over again, we make these choices. Now, I love a good croissant and a coffee, and yes, I deserve a treat. But I also deserve long-term health and the ability to feel good in my own skin, right? And sometimes choosing a path towards that is a little bit more difficult. This is true in so many things in our lives, in our workplace, in the church, and how we serve the community, in our relationships with our partners, and the way we engage with our children. You know, sometimes it's a lot easier to let something slide than to address a difficult situation so that a relationship can be healthier. Over and over and over again, we have choice. And just because we sometimes make a choice that's not in the right direction doesn't mean that we're on the wrong path. Because the truth is, and the message of grace, is that we can make the choice of the next minute to correct ourselves, to move in a way that is going to bring fruitfulness into our lives, to lean into God, and to lean into God's love for ourselves. It seems from the very beginning of this film that Charlie has chosen death over life, and that is one of these recurring themes in the film. He has given up on himself. He has repeatedly asserted that he is of little value to the world. Yet who, and if we watch that, we might be able to believe it. Yet, Charlie does resist. He just can't help it. He is a child of God after all. Even if he can't admit it to himself, he longs for the emotional connection that he verbally eschews. He cares for other living things, placing a plate of cut fruits and treats at his windowside for a bird who visits him and is his friend. He puts up with and endures the verbal abuse of his daughter and her pain at her rejection so that he might convey to her his powerful insight that she is truly an incredible and wonderful person. He pushes his students to choose their best path forward. His broken heart makes it difficult to love himself, but he loves other people deeply. And this love is not enough to heal his body. But giving this love frees his soul in the end of the film. This love is complicated, powerful, and a wonderful thing. And Charlie is complicated, flawed, and wonderfully made by God. He was as deserving of love as the love that he extended to others. Charlie, his partner Alan, and we live in a world where the powerful truth of the unseen that Paul refers to has had limits placed on it by a world church caught up more in the ideas of sin and carnality than grace and transformation. There have been many who have taken the life-giving gospel of Jesus and transformed it into a message of condemnation and exclusion. Churches have been guilty of hurting God's children in many ways. The Christian church has played a foundational role in shaping a theology that isolates and condemns LGBTQ people and gives cover to those who exploit prejudice to gain power in politics. The gospel has been twisted, and it has caused suffering. But we know here in this house, we know here that this is not the message that God is bringing to God's children. In the gospel of Jesus, Jesus warns us of those who would attempt to distort the truth, who came to break down and to destroy the good thing that he is bringing. Jesus makes it clear. He is not here to place limits on you. He is here to bring life. And not just eternal life, not life at the end of the day, an abundant and present, ever-giving life in this moment. Accepting God's powerful grace, knowing that we deserve it, letting it lead us in our lives instead of submitting to shame or other false teachings is a powerful way to live. And isn't that what God wants for us? To live fully, to love each other fully, to have life and to have it abundantly. That is what Charlie wanted for his daughter. And I believe secretly in his heart of hearts for himself. But he was afraid to choose that path. You do not have to be afraid of life. God is with you now, always, and evermore. The path to living life fully may not be the easiest, but it's yours to own. It is a part of saying yes to grace, to inviting the powerful uncertainty of change into your life, of choosing the path of the unseen over the path of the easy. We do not know what lies ahead, but we know that we are never alone. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Amen. Please rise, and we will join in our final hymn, which is not this.
Oh,
Let's give some thanks to our wonderful song leaders while our choir is on vacation. And once again for Tom Neenan for joining us on the organ today. After worship today, if you would like to receive communion, I'll be providing it. You can come and sit in these first two rows in the United Methodist Church. The table is open to all. You're also, and we please ask, that you will join us in the gym. You can follow Devin through this wonderful climate-controlled, air-conditioned path to the gym to help us make our blessing bags. For those of you who are new here, those are bags that we make to distribute to anybody who might need them, our neighbors in need with essential hygiene elements and other pieces. It goes really fast because when you have many hands, God's work is light, but we do need your many hands, and there are treats, so another reason. As you go out into the world, may God grant you his courage and his wisdom for the living of these days. Choose grace, embrace it, allow it to lead you, and know that God will never leave you. You belong to God, he is yours, and together we are one church. Go in peace. Amen.